Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Post Political Podcast. I'm the host, Derek Britton, and I hope everyone is enjoying their Tuesday. We're going to have a special Tuesday night episode tonight. We are talking with Dave Jones from LP Tennessee. And first up, let's get the advertisements out of the way. So we have the Vermin Supreme Institute. Our purpose is to inspire social evolution through the disruption of authoritarianism, to promote compassion and activism, and to spread knowledge of redacted history. Through the use of humor, direct action, and mutual aid, we uplift the disaffected, the disenfranchised, and the disempowered. And then next up, we have Brewed Coffee. If you check out my affiliate link in the comments after the show or go to brewedco.com, you can find tons of different coffee mugs and merchandise, and also some incredible coffee. They have a bunch of different flavors. My favorite, the Kentucky Bourbon. But yeah, check it out. There's a lot of good coffee, a lot of good merchandise there that you can go and buy and support local business. So I want to introduce our guest tonight. We have a good friend of mine, David Jones. He's running for the chair of LP Tennessee. And he's going to be doing a couple of tours through Tennessee as well. And he's got a beautiful message of compassion and love that I can't wait for him to share with you all. So let's bring him in. Dave Jones, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's it's starting to get a little chillier up here in the Northeast. I'm up in Massachusetts, so it's been floating around freezing here for the last day or two, but tomorrow it's supposed to get real cold. I imagine much colder than Tennessee's at right now, but how you guys doing down there?
Doing all right. Weather's been sporadic as usual during the winter, so yeah. I mean, don't know what to wear from day to day. They always say in Tennessee, if you don't like the weather, just wait around 10 or 15 minutes, it'll change on you.
It's funny that people in New England have about the same exact little message or whatever that they say as well. So that's funny. It's good to have you on. I'm excited for tonight. I talk to you on occasion kind of throughout the year. We work on a bunch of different stuff together. I'm helping out a little bit on this campaign as well, but I am super excited because I've been kind of out of commission a little bit with a newborn. So I haven't been as kind of tied into the campaign. So I'm actually excited to hear a little bit more about, some of the stuff that you guys are doing that you have done. And then, that you're doing coming up here. But first off, I wanted to ask you, and I asked most of the guests that come on this, what was your path to coming into the Libertarian Party? Most folks, don't start off here. Maybe you did, but I'd love to hear what the way that you've gotten here. And I don't think I've actually heard that even, as we talk on our own. So.
Yeah. Well, I've always been involved in politics ever since from a young age. My mom really got me into politics. She dragged me to sound wavings and stuff when I was a kid. And when I was in elementary school, I would write political comedy sketches about the presidential debates, and my teachers would let me perform those in front of the class. So that really kept my interest through. I was able to vote in my first presidential election when I was still a senior in high school. Kept my path down there, but I never really kind of felt that I had a true political home.
Yep.
That really matched my principles and my values. So I kind of just wandered the political wilderness for quite a few years. And in 2016, I saw an advertisement on Facebook for Gary Johnson for president. And knowing the two choices that I had for president that year, I was like, well, let me check this guy out. Because I'd heard of the Libertarian Party, but I never really looked that hard into it. So yep. I went over to lp.org, started reading the platform, the principles, started doing research about the philosophy of libertarianism, and found out that I was a libertarian. I'd found my home. So I contacted the Libertarian Party of Tennessee, and the guy who was over the area that I lived in got back with me, and I started my journey. I became a county chair in Coffee County, Tennessee. And in 2017, went to the convention. I was elected as the secretary of the LPTN.
Yep.
And eventually now I've moved on. I'm the chair of the whiskey region here in the LPTN. So that was kind of my journey, you know, just not really knowing a whole lot about even the existence of the Libertarian Party. But once I found it, I knew that I'd found my home.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of folks say that similar thing. You hear that a lot. The you know, if I knew about the Libertarian Party, I would have been here earlier. Or, you know, other folks that I have on, even from the Green and other parties, they say the same thing. Man, if I just knew about the Green Party, this really fit in my you know, political thoughts or philosophy or whatever. And if I just knew about it. So I feel like we all know this, but I feel like that awareness is such a big important piece. And one of the things that I've loved seeing in your campaign for even just, you know, the LPTN chair is you are going around. And even before with Jorgensen and Spike Cohen, I saw you standing out on the corner of popular streets in your area. You do the work. I mean, it's amazing to see folks that not only preach it, you know, on the internet or whatever, but are actually out there doing it and getting the word out. And I think that's just, it's one of the most important things we can do as a smaller party. And you do a great job with that. And I'd love to hear more. I know you got a tour coming up, the Unity tour. I'd love to hear a little bit about your different stops and what you're trying to achieve and kind of the message that you're bringing throughout that tour.
Yeah. It's like you were saying before, you know, a lot of people, they just don't know about the Libertarian Party. And if they do know about the Libertarian Party, a lot of times it's through misconceptions or different types of propaganda about the views of the party. So it's very important to go out and actually reach out to the people, because we as a small party can't expect them to come to us wanting to know who we are.
Right.
We have to go out and live our principles out loud and large, you know, do our sign wavings. We've got to go out and meet people where they're at and talk to them about libertarianism. And, you know, that's one of the big parts of the tour. I mean, for one function, it's getting me around the state to the different areas of the state for my campaign. But at the same time, we're opening up to anybody, you know, if anybody wants to come and learn about the Libertarian Party. But we're doing two different tours. On January the 30th, the first one kicks off in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We'll go from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, up to Lebanon, Tennessee, then over to Carthage, Tennessee, down to Cookeville, Tennessee, over to Knoxville, Tennessee, and finish off the tour in Chattanooga. And then a couple of weeks later, February the 13th, we're going to start in Middle Tennessee and we're going to go west. I know we're currently hammering out some of the details on a lot of the stops, but we're going to start in Nashville and head west so we can cover our western affiliates. So those people can come out, you know, they can talk to me, see what my vision over the next 2 years and where I'd like to see the Libertarian Party of Tennessee be in 2 years. But at the same time, you know, we'd like to have them in a place where people could come up who may not know who the Libertarian Party is, can come up and start those types of conversations with libertarians that could plant that seed in their minds about, you know, what the Libertarian Party actually is and what our principles and our values are.
Yeah, and I think one of it's crazy. You know, I've seen where you just laid out in towns or in cities, you know, around town. That's a lot of miles you guys are covering. So, and anyone that, you know, I'll, if someone isn't doing it right now, I will put in the comments, the event for the Unity Tour. So you can see the different stops and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great. I think if you're anywhere in Tennessee and want to, you know, come and meet Dave and talk with him about kind of his plans and just his general kind of philosophies about libertarianism and just helping people in general. I think you'll be impressed. I tell everyone, Dave, you know, when I'm describing you, that you're just one of the kindest people. Like, it's as soon as you start talking with you, Dave, you get this overwhelming feeling of kindness and generosity, and you really are one of the kinder people that I've ever met and talked to. And I think it's a wonderful thing just personally that I get that personal relationship with you, but also you use it in your messaging. And I think it's such a different way of messaging that a lot of folks go about it. And it flies in the face of a lot of the stereotypes that we've heard about libertarians, that they hate poor people and they just scream taxation is theft all the time. And, all these things that you have to kind of fight against. But I want to hear specifically, how do you go about folding in that compassion and care into your message? And, what would your kind of perfect world be under, more of a libertarian governance or lack thereof, let's say?
Yeah. Well, I talk a lot in my messaging, and I just came out with a campaign video, but I talk about it a lot. Is the Libertarian Party, we are the party of love. We are the party of peace. We are the party of compassion and empathy. And a lot of people don't really get to see that, but we actually are. When you look at the philosophies of libertarianism, it's a very kind and it's a very giving philosophy. When you really, really get down into it, because a lot of it, I mean, look at Tennessee, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee in its history, it had been a very libertarian-esque type state, especially in the foothills of the Appalachians and the poorer regions, especially where I'm at, southern middle Tennessee. We are the volunteer state. And we've always had that volunteer type attitude, the how's your mom and them, bringing over a covered dish when someone's sick and helping out. And that's what libertarianism to me really is that when you start forcing, adding force to the equation, that's where things that we've seen with what's going on with maybe healthcare.
Yep.
And criminal justice and things like that. When we start adding force into it is when everything tends to go crazy on us. And it for libertarianism and libertarian philosophy to really take hold, it has to be a kind. It has to be a loving philosophy, because it's giving and it's that charitable philosophy. Yeah. I mean, right now, one of the things that I like to point out when I'm campaigning is, going out and showing in Tennessee, because one of the big knocks on libertarianism is like, oh, it's a great philosophy, but it'll never work in real life,
Right.
But at the same time, we as a party can start there across the state of Tennessee. There's mutual aid networks. There's volunteer organizations and charities that are support. That right now, people are living the philosophy of libertarianism. There's farmers co-ops,
right,
that work together. And us as a party, if we can highlight that, because like we were talking about earlier, a lot of people just don't know who we are.
Yep.
And the best way for us to put our foot forward is to show people who we are. And we can show people who we are through lifting up these types of volunteer organizations and helping them out and highlighting those as a state. And that way people can see that our principles and our philosophies aren't just something that's in a book. They work in real life. They have worked in real life, and they can work in real life again.
Absolutely. And I, Spike and I were just talking about it this last week. A lot of folks who run for office in the Libertarian Party speak a lot about, volunteering and how we need to be more of a volunteer and mutual aid and community help kind of society versus a state-driven kind of top-down care society where, you know, you send your money up the ladder. There's a bunch of red tape and money being spent, and then it comes back down on pennies on the dollar. And it's barely helping those who actually really, really need that. So, you know, being able to say that is all well and good, but if we're not out there doing it, we look like hypocrites, you know, and people are saying exactly like you said, that works in theory, but it would never work in practice. We need this, you know, authoritarian government over us, basically spending our money ineffectively and not really helping the folks that it's trying to help out nearly as much as they need it, you know?
Yeah. And that's one thing that we try to marry into a lot of the stuff that we do here in the Whiskey region. One of the things that we've found a lot of success with is having our fun little themed events, you know, where we have food, you know, we bring people out. We have some libertarian speakers. We usually have a different food themed event. We've had a fish fry. We've had a weenie roast, a chili cook-off. We've had a cheeseburger picnic. Each one of those having a different theme and bringing people in into a loving environment and a safe environment where they can come in, they can ask us questions, they can listen to libertarian speakers, talk about, you know, the party or candidates or philosophy, while at the same time, you know, they can go get something to eat and fill their stomachs up. And that's putting liberty in action. And like you talked about Spock, one of the things, you know, that he did on his campaign was the Pound the Pavement events in North Carolina, where they went to some of the communities there in North Carolina that were the most affected by government overreach and knocked a lot of the doors there. And one thing that Spock always talks about is what they found out that day is most people can talk about libertarianism a lot better than most libertarians. They know it. They live it every day.
Right.
They see the government overreach. They see the government overuse of force with licensing and things like that. Like here a couple of years ago, you know, the city of Memphis had a big bust on the hair licensing and put a lot of people out of businesses that were running hair braiding businesses and backdoor barbershops and things like that. So a lot of they see that a lot of these policies that are brought forth by state, local, and federal governments are really targeted at their communities, and they can talk to us about that. And that's really important because a lot of them didn't know what the Libertarian Party was. And once we said, you know, that's exactly where we're at. We're standing at the same point. And I think the Libertarian Party in North Carolina, it grew by, I think, like 40 to 60 members just over a few days of being able to do these events. And that's one of the things that we need to be doing as a Libertarian Party to grow our party. One of the things that we're looking at here in Tennessee right now is we've kind of started restructuring a lot of our internal committees because one of my big things is building the support structure, the infrastructure within the party. To be able to support a lot of our initiatives, of course, one of the things that we want to do in Tennessee is with any political party is run and elect libertarians. Yep. One of the things that we want to do is community outreach. You know, then we've got our ballot access initiatives because Tennessee has some of the toughest ballot access laws in the country. But to be able to tackle all of these, we need the infrastructure in place. So we've started looking at restructuring a lot of our committees. We've had a great guy that moved into Tennessee, Brian Lambert. He came to us from Illinois. I know you know Brian.
I love Brian.
He's great. And he brought a lot of the stuff that they were doing really well in the Libertarian Party of Illinois and presented it to the board here. And they're already starting to move forward with a lot of it so we can kind of get that in place before the convention so we can start getting volunteers to fill a lot of the positions. But to be able to, we're going to start a field operations team.
Yep.
And that's going to be huge. You know, that's going to be dealing with things like county affiliate development, which is huge because a lot of times where we fail as a party is when someone comes to us and says, I want to volunteer, I want a job, I want to do something. A lot of times there's plenty of jobs to do and we give them those and then they kind of go off and they don't have a whole lot of direction.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're restructuring a lot of our committees. There's going to be written documentation. There's going to be written forms and things for like a county affiliates that want to start up. You know, we might be able to hand them a stack of bylaws. Here's your bylaws. Here's a way to start on that. Take a look at that, you know. And to really be able to train these individuals as well, because there's going to be training sessions for people. Because when you bring anybody into any kind of position, whether it be a political party or a job or any kind of volunteer organization, the more structure and the more goals and objectives that you can give to them, the more that they understand their job, the more training, the more likely that that good person that you've brought in is going to not only stay with the organization, but you can also elevate those good individuals throughout the organization. We've got plenty of good people here in Tennessee. I know I've got a lot of rock stars here in the Whiskey region that have really exploded the party down here. When I took over the Whiskey region in December of 2019, I only had one. I have 13 counties in my region, and I only had one county chair. And we brought on a couple of guys right after our convention last year. You know, we brought on Keith McQuarrie. We brought on A.J. Campbell, you know, and we've really taken off. And over this year of just development, we have now filled over 70% of our counties are now active affiliates with city and county chairs. We've had all fun events. We've got our bylaws adopted. We've got a full slate of regional officers elected. And now we're ready to rock. We're ready to go and do things. Like one of the things that my friend William Patton, who's our Moore County chair, is planning next year is a charity motorcycle ride that'll go from Lynchburg, Tennessee to Carthage, Tennessee. So, you know, we'll be taking donations for that, donating it to a local charity network and really getting our ideas out there. And that only goes to help to build our brand. And the better that we get that out there and show people who we are and, you know, what our actions are, it's only going to go further to help our candidates.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I think one of the things you touched on there that can be kind of a roadblock is ballot access laws. And I know you and I have had this conversation, you know, offline before, but I'd love for you to talk to the folks watching, you know, explain, I guess, how obvious, I guess, it is of trying to suppress third parties in your state. And, you know, if you get, you know, keep going and how would we go about fixing some of those? And mm-hmm. is there anyone we can work with or any other parties that maybe we can join forces or maybe you guys are already doing that down in Tennessee? I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. Well, in Tennessee, we have to get a little over 56,000 signatures to be recognized as an official party in Tennessee. And that's us, that's the Green Party, that's the Constitution Party, that's anybody who is not a Democrat or Republican in Tennessee has this same hurdle, which is a little over 56,000 signatures. The Democratic and Republican Party need 25 signatures, not 2,500, not 25,000, 25. So that means they pass a piece of paper around their office and they get their 25 signatures.
Right.
And when you look at the Tennessee State Constitution, it states in our Constitution that elections shall be free and equal. So 56,000 versus 25 does not seem very free and equal to me.
No.
So there's several different routes that we can take to combat ballot access, these ballot access laws. One of those is actually going out and getting the 56,000 signatures. But when you're when you're looking at 56,000 signatures with the attrition of thrown out signatures by the state, we're looking at close to 100,000 signatures that we have to gather,
right,
in order to secure, comfortably secure the little over 56,000 that we need. And that's one of those routes that it's kind of unrealistic at this point.
Yeah.
But the other two routes, we've got a legislative route. We've got a legislative team in here in Tennessee that is looking to put a bill forward to the Tennessee state legislature that would lower the signature amounts. We've done this before. The bill got killed in committee because they said it would cost too much to change our letter from like an I to an L. So it would cost Tennesseans too much when Tennesseans are already paying for the Republican and Democratic primaries already.
Right.
But it's going to cost too much to change the letter next to someone's name when they're running for office. But this time we're confident that we've got a really good bill to put forward. So we'll see during this legislative session how far that we can get that one. And the third option is filing lawsuits.
Yep.
Going back to the clause in the or the article in the Tennessee State Constitution, elections shall be free and equal. There's been lawsuits brought in the past. I know the Green Party, the Constitution Party, and the Libertarian Party have all brought lawsuits in the past. So that's one avenue for us to go. But we've got three different options. Tennessee has shown in the past that they're usually not willing to budge on their because it keeps competition off. Right now, Tennessee's a very red state. And the more that the Republicans can keep other parties off the ballot, that's less competition that they have.
Right.
But when you research our ballot access laws in Tennessee, we've got a guy here. He's our state historian for the party. When you research the ballot access laws, our current ballot access laws, you can trace back. It's a really dark era, where a lot of these Jim Crow laws that were being written in the state to specifically target our African-American communities.
Yep.
And, you know, since the civil rights movement, a lot of these laws have been taken off of the Tennessee books, obviously. But one of the last remaining laws from that era is the ballot access laws that the Democratic Party, who had control of the state of Tennessee at the time, had written to keep African-American caucuses from forming a party,
right,
to challenge them. Now here, decades later, the Republican Party is using Democratic Party written laws to keep competition off of the ballot.
Yep.
So, and I don't think a lot of people really realize what it takes to get on the ballot. I know I've talked to people before who are like, oh, so-and-so should run for president as an independent. And it's like, you don't realize exactly what it takes to run as an independent, because each and every state has different requirements for ballot access. Right. Like take Tennessee and Alabama, for example. In Tennessee, they're a little easier if you'll run it as an independent. So in order to get Spike and Joan, I think it was like 350 signatures that we had to gather to get them on our ballot as an independent candidate.
Yep.
We crossed the border into Alabama down here, 5,000 signatures.
Wow.
So imagine how much money and resources that we could have put in other places, right, rather than having to scramble and have people come into Alabama, try to scramble and get these 5,000 signatures during a pandemic.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't, like you said, I don't think people really realize what kind of hurdle that is. If you look at Kanye West, said he was running for president, went out there and tried to run for president, and he got on only a handful of ballots, and he has millions of dollars just that he could just blow on whatever petitions or whatever he needs to do. That's hard from a group of folks that are mainly volunteers in each state, you know, as you were saying, that is a very difficult thing to achieve, even if everyone is putting in 110% throughout that entire year trying to get on the ballot. And especially during COVID, like you were saying, you know, even with some of the rules loosened in some states, it was still very, very, and I commend, I mean, I think the LP did an incredible job being able to get on every ballot in the United States, but it is something that people take for granted, I think. And not people within, you know, third parties. If you look at the Green Party, I've talked to folks in the Green Party who have said the same thing. You know, it's the biggest hurdle is not even, you know, we talk about the debates, we talk about the 5%, we talk about trying to get even recognized in a lot of states as a party, but the ballot access, just getting your name on there, not even being able to promote, do any sign waving, do any bumper sticker, none of that, just being able to get onto that ballot is so much money and so much time and resources that it can kind of kill a campaign dead before it's even started. And thank you for highlighting a lot of that, because that's
what they're designed to do. They're designed to torpedo a campaign right off the bat, so it discourages people from even attempting to gather the signatures, because they realize their resources are going to be sucked away before they even get into actually running their campaign.
And I think it's, you know, that's part of the kind of outreach and the communication that we have to have. We have to be sure that we're telling folks, you know, when we're doing the campaigning and you know, not trying to give them, you know, too much for them. You know, you only got a certain amount of time to be able to talk to folks, but even separate campaigns, you know, during the off years. And for city council and stuff, there's not really typically many off years, but in some of the down years that we're not running a presidential race, it would be great to see a lot of states go out and do a campaign just educating people on ballot access laws and what it really takes to get on that piece of paper come election day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would really help, especially in the states who have the toughest laws, like Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Ohio, New York, you know, all these states, who Illinois, that have just absolutely horrendous hurdles for the Libertarian Party or any party or any person who's wanting to run for office. I mean, you look at Georgia's laws. I mean, it's easy state house seat.
We lost you there for a second there, but I think you're back. It looked like you're back now. Sorry about that. Yeah, okay. It seems like we got a lot of the message. We just missed the last part about Georgia's laws for the state house. But yeah, one of the things too.
Yeah,
No,
you're all right. But yeah, it's like in Georgia, it's easier to run for president than it is to run for like a state house seat, as far as ballot access requirements.
Yeah, and it's almost like you need a law degree to be able to actually figure it out. I mean, the stuff that you have to read through the different parts of the legislation aren't super easy to understand. A lot of states do have it kind of laid out on their website, but as we know, most of those websites are not super easy to navigate to begin with. So luckily, you know, I feel like our state parties do a good job trying to pull that information out and have it available for folks, but you know, like we were talking about before, the common person that's not super involved with a third party really has no idea that those laws are even on the books. So, I think those are good things to bring up. And I'd love to see some campaigns, you know, even in, I probably will bring this up in Massachusetts as well to do a ballot access. Ours aren't nearly as bad, but they're still not great. And they still give a much, a lopsided advantage to the Democrats and Republicans. So, definitely good to bring those things up. I wanted to note, we talked a little bit about this in the pre-show. You have a friend running in District 3 in Chattanooga that I'd love to talk to you quickly about and hear a little bit about her campaign as well.
Yeah, we've got her name is Rachel Torrance. And she's running in District 3 of down there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. She's a wonderful person, wonderful libertarian, very loving, very giving, really is glowing about that message of love and compassion and kindness. And she's decided to run in District 3 down there in Chattanooga. So we're going to be really hammering her campaign really hard to get it out there and get that information out there. But she's got a website, RachelT for District3.com. So, you know, one of the things that these candidates are going to need is money. So they can get signs and so they can do the promotion event so they can get elected down there. So if anybody wanted to hop over to that website, you know, and drop her some donations, you know, that would be great. But I completely and utterly endorse her, lovingly endorse her. I got to spend a lot of time with her on the Spike Cohen bus tour. Yep. Through Georgia and Alabama. We went from Atlanta, Georgia to Birmingham, Alabama to Savannah, Georgia. And I got to spend a lot of time with Rachel. And she's incredibly intelligent. She knows the libertarian, even though she's a newer baby libertarian, she's a lot like me. She knew the philosophy. She knew in her heart, she knew this. She just found out that there's an actual political party and a political movement that matched that feeling in her heart that she knew was right. So I'm super proud of her that she's running that race down there. And hopefully we'll be able to add Rachel to our growing list of elected candidates here in Tennessee. Even without the ballot access, we've got a lot of fantastic people here in the state who have been able to overcome that ballot at the ballot suppression laws and things to get in on local offices. You know, it'll be a while before we can really honestly challenge for like state and federal positions. But really, when you look at it, a lot of times our local positions are our city councilors, our county commissioners, our sheriffs. Are positions that a lot of times we do overlook as people and tend to focus more on who our state senator is or who the president is, but a city council and a county commission, you know, they can impact you on a daily basis. So and those are races that a lot of times you can challenge and win because we in Tennessee and all around the country in different states have showed that we can win these local races and that we can make a difference at our local level. And when we start making that difference at our local levels, that's when we can start moving on to bigger and better positions because people know who we are at that point. We've got a track record, you know, we've got a voting record. We can show, you know, initiatives that we've put forth, you know, for things like criminal justice reform or cannabis reform or things like that that actually absolutely impact people's lives every single day. So I'm stoked that Rachel's running, and I believe she's got a good chance in winning that. She's got a fantastic campaign team behind her down there, and you know, like I said, if you guys want to check her out, you look it up, Rachel Torrance for District 3 on Facebook, and then Rachel T for District3.com, and head on over there. You know, send her some likes, send her some money. You know, whatever we can do to get Rachel in the city council down there in Chattanooga will just really help us here in Tennessee.
Yeah, and I think, you know, those like you were saying before, those are the elections that are going to matter more on a day-to-day basis. There's so much so many different things that someone local does in the city or town that you live in that impacts your life on a daily basis. Typically, I mean, unless you're in you know, certain in a certain direct impact, I guess, to a presidential executive order or something to that effect, you're not going to be infected as immediately by something that they're going to do or your state senator as you are for like a city councilor or a mayor or anyone in your town, even the zoning board. I mean, there are significant things that they do on a daily basis that could impact your life, whether or not you can do something in your house or your town. So definitely check out Rachel's website and Facebook group. I think that's great. And, you know, I think the way I we're coming up against it here, but I want to make sure we end on a little bit of, you know, what, and we've heard a lot about it tonight. So I appreciate you sharing so much about kind of your vision and kind of changing up some of the committees and stuff. But, you know, what is your kind of goal? Your number one, you know, what you want to get done as the chair of the Tennessee Libertarian Party, and how do we go about kind of getting from where we are today to where you want to be, you know, after you're elected and getting those things in place?
Well, my vision is if the state of Tennessee gives me 2 years, my main goal is building our infrastructure, like I was talking about earlier.
Yep.
If we can get a good infrastructure in place with the good people, we'll get people in positions, get them trained, give them good direction where they know what their roles and responsibilities and authorities are, and we can set them out. It's building our base, building our county affiliates,
yep,
and building our committees, building our legislative committees. And going out and find that way, it all works together. If we can get a good infrastructure built in the state of Tennessee over the next 2 years, all the other goals are going to start lining up. Our ballot access goals, our candidate goals, our legislative goals, because all of that works together. One thing that I do in my real life is I'm a quality systems engineer. So a lot of times I go into companies and I help them set up their internal business systems and educate them on how things work together.
Yep.
And how employees interact with the systems that are built around them. And I believe that if Tennessee can spend the next 2 years really focusing on building up our infrastructure, along with fighting ballot access, finding candidates, running candidates — I'm not saying we abandon that.
Right.
Because we're going to have committees for that. We'll have an app for that. Candidates, we'll have an app for that. But no, we'll have committees for that. And really focusing on going out and getting our message. It's one of the committees I talked about is our field operations team, you know, and having like an activism coordinator to go out and do these activism activities around the state, like a pound the pavement event. Or charity drives, or lifting up a farm cooperative and things like that. So my vision in 2 years is Tennessee will have one of the strongest infrastructures in the country for a libertarian state party. And the people of Tennessee will know who we are through our actions, not just through our words.
That's perfect. And I think, you know, that's, the, like you were laying out, you know, those infrastructure things that you can just enable folks, not only the individual, but in their counties and in their, you know, their regions. That is huge. I mean, that's taking a lot of the burden off of individuals having to do all that work, you know, up front to start something. You got all this excitement and, you have a big event, say, in a county, and you have a bunch of folks that want to join. The last thing they want to do is write bylaws first day. I mean, that's not the thing that they want to. They want to get out there and do some sign waving. They want to go clean up a park. They want to do the fun, you know, the stuff that's going to be great to show and great. And you want to enable them to be able to do that. If you don't enable them to do that, you're going to lose half the people before you're even done writing the bylaws.
Yeah, and that's really my philosophy behind what the party. What a state party's function really is assisting that. The Libertarian Party, part of our philosophy is being a ground up organization. So giving our county affiliates and our regional affiliates that empowerment through education and through structure for them to be able to have a lot of that ready for them to go when they're ready to do that, and get that out of the way. Also with our candidates, I know a lot of times it's tough for somebody who says, I want to run. I want to run for a city council. Well, yep. What do I do? Well, the state party, you know, we'll have a couple of committee heads there that deal strictly with our candidates, the type of people who will train candidates on how to file FAC reports, you know, going back to ballot access. How do you do ballot access? What forms do you need? How many signatures do you need? It's just going to make our party stronger, our message stronger, and retain our good people. I've seen so many good people come to this party in the past, and because of lack of structure and lack of direction, they've moved on because it just really wasn't worth dealing with. And I think one of our big responsibilities as a state party is to be able to be that source of information, that source of training to empower and train people to be within their positions and be successful at those positions and open that line of communication, because we're 9 regions across Tennessee, but we're 1 Tennessee, we're 1 Libertarian Party. And if we can set that communication network up so we're capturing our successes and even capturing our failures and what lessons that we learned from those failures, so people don't step in the same potholes in the future. So it's really capturing all of that and holding those communication lines open and training people. And it's only gonna make us stronger as a state party. And that's my goal. I want Tennessee to be one of the strongest state parties, infrastructure wise, in the entire country.
Yep.
Because Tennessee is the volunteer state. A lot of people in Tennessee already understand the message. And, you know, if you come to Lebanon, Tennessee on February the 21st, that's the day of our convention. If you're in Tennessee, want to vote, you know, if you come and vote for me, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get someone who's going to bust their ass for the next 2 years to make sure that Tennessee has Tennessee libertarians, whether they're a county chair or a candidate, has what they need to be able to function. So
that's beautiful. I mean, I think it's funny. You know, I was thinking about this as we're talking, two libertarians getting together and talking about structure and infrastructure. You know, it seems almost antithetical, but in reality, what you're doing and what you're trying to put in place is just going to be there to empower the individual. And I think that's one of the biggest kind of foundation pieces of the Libertarian Party, is empowering the individuals to do what they need. And, you know, if there's a person that I would want to do that, it's David Jones. So I think we're up against it now. So I want to say goodnight, and I really appreciate you coming on. This is great. And, you know, we're working on our state party in Massachusetts right now. So it's very interesting to me to hear about another state party. And I know folks on, you know, in the comments and stuff, it's kind of a new perspective. You know, you hear kind of the national party stuff, you hear a lot of the big presidential election stuff, but you don't get into the kind of nitty gritty of a state party and how it runs and how to empower the individual, like we were just talking about. So thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And if you need anything at all, I will, we can share it in our post political community. And, actually if folks want to go and check out the campaign video that Dave just put out, it's in post political community, in our group. If you go to the page where you're watching this now, there's a link to the group and you can go there and watch it. And, it's a great video. I think it's beautiful, and it, shows that love and compassion message that you're trying to put out there. So it's wonderful, Dave.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And always wonderful to talk to you, man. This is the way.
Yeah, this is the way. You have a great night. It was great talking with you. So yeah, that was David Jones for LPTN chair. And he is just one of the best people I know. One of the kindest, most compassionate people I know. I'm not just saying that because he's here and on and running for chair. That was my first impression of Dave when I first met him. He brought on a military service dog that he had brought into foster, and some folks that he was helping out, a friend, who was kind of down on their luck and wasn't able to house that dog. I mean, that's kindness just kind of exudes from Dave, and I love talking with him, whether it be here in front of all you or just personally on the side. He has the heart in the right place, the message to actually bring on people, which is, you know, sometimes rare. Like I said, it's tough to find people who lead with that compassion. So, it was wonderful talking with Dave, and I'm very happy that we were able to dive in deep and kind of show you all what a state party, should look like and what some of the things that can be put in place to help really empower those individuals in the state. So, that was wonderful. And I wanted to, I actually got a note from a good friend of mine that I should, at the end of these things, kind of promote the next guest, because that's the next thing that next time you'll see me. So on Thursday, we're actually doing two this week. On Thursday, we're talking to one of my good friends, Jeremy in Boston. So he's actually pretty local to me, and he does not only activism, you know, whether it be going to protests and kind of making voices be heard by a lot of the local legislature in Boston, but also he runs Little Liberty, which helps bring some kind of financial advice and knowledge to folks in his community and more in particular, people of color in the community. So it's a great organization. I'm looking forward to talking to it with him. And it was great talking with you all and having you all watch tonight. If you have any questions, please put it in the comments. Any links that you need as far as I'm sure in the description, Dave Jones's group for his chair run is in there. And then we can put Rachel's run in District 3 in Chattanooga as well. So if you need any other links or you have any other questions, I always check the comments after. So please ask them there and I will get back to you. I hope you all had a great night, and it was good talking with y'all. Have a good night.